Sorry, and just for listeners at home, as soon as he said Debbie Ryan, I did the ear tuck. So we're covered. We're good.
I don't know what that means.
It's fine. People will. Hello, and welcome to Saving People, Queering Things, the Supernatural podcast where one of our hosts today may or may not be in possession of half of a man. Top, middle, or bottom? Which host? You decide. Today, we're pulling up to Season 6, Episode 2, Two and a Half Men.
It's me, by the way.
You're in possession of half of a man?
And there it goes. Suspense out the door.
Spoiler
Thanks for
alert.
Listening today, guys. That was Saving People, Queering Things. I've been your host, Noah. Pronouns he, him.
I'm August. Pronouns they, them.
And I'm Jacob. Pronouns blank, blank. Oh, pronouns he, him.
No, perfect. Jacob's reading off of the document where we leave it conveniently empty.
Yeah.
Not he's not making a joke about pronouns, or at least not a, yeah. He is making a joke
Sorry,
about pronouns.
I am making a joke, but I'm making, it's not a,
it's
I'm
not
making a joke
more
for...
offensive than Jacob normally is. So we're fine.
Very true, actually. Yeah.
I like the implication in your initial introduction, Noah, that you can be in possession of like the middle half of someone, because I'm not sure how that works.
It's dicey,
literally.
But it works.
Literally dicey.
I've heard.
You are dicey. Doing your dice anyway. Anyway.
Oh my God. The question I have for my co-host today is, if you had to pick to be in possession of half of a man, would you pick top, middle, or bottom?
Ooh.
It's a horrible question.
And how would you cover up the evidence?
Wait. Could I potentially have a better question for this.
Ooh, okay, yes.
That's good. Okay, I'm glad. I don't
okay,
want to answer the question.
Today's, okay, so I'm going to ask the question of the day today. And the question I have for my co-hosts is, if you could be a merperson, which half of the fish would you choose? Would you choose the top half or the bottom half?
The bottom half, obviously.
Absolutely.
Then I can swim, but I don't have.
No. You don't have gills.
Okay, but that's fine, because I just do what like whales do. You just do what like sea mammals do, where they have to breathe above water and then they go underneath.
I don't know, but you could do the singing bass.
I don't want a fish head.
I want to choose middle.
middle. So you're just like.
You have no arms.
You have
no
a fin.
Arms. They're irrelevant. Get them out of there.
You have fins and gills. But human
and
legs?
Spine on the back is really
human
nice.
Legs and a human top and a human head.
That's a horrifying.
So it's just shoulders up, right?
Yeah.
Shoulders up, that's... and then like torso is fish, and then
it like, sounds like
knees
we're making
below.
Knees down.
It sounds like we're making some like horrific like sidekick trio for Aquaman.
And this is Aquaman's pals.
Oh, they're all half of a fish, but different halves.
And it's all the same fish.
It's the triple fish.
I hate this.
This is not a thought experiment I wanted to participate in.
You're welcome.
Well, now that you've met everybody for today, maybe a little bit more than you wanted to, it's time to catch you up. If you haven't watched Supernatural recently, here's what you've missed on the road so far. First up, August is going to recap the show up to this point. Are you ready? No pressure.
Yeah, I'm ready. And recognize and
30
like
seconds.
Okay, so like for those who haven't listened in a while, Jacob is returning host.
He's our pro.
Jacob
Thank
has
you.
Not watched.
Thank you.
Jacob
no
does
longer
not
guest.
Watch Supernatural.
No longer guest host. I'm a returning host.
You're
I
returning
appreciate
guest
that.
Star,
I appreciate
fan
that.
Favorite.
Thank yeah. you for redeeming all my titles.
Most
Jacob
complained
doesn't
about
watch Supernatural. That's an important note here. Jacob does not watch Supernatural. Jacob watches only the episodes that he is on. So do you remember what was the last episode you were on, Jacob?
It was like season 2.
420.
No, oh yeah, 420. 420.
Yeah, you were on,
I remember nothing about that episode.
I don't think anyone on that episode remembers
because
it.
Because it was a normal episode.
So you've seen like 5 episodes at this point across
yes.
the first 5 seasons, 6 seasons.
Yes.
This recap becomes really important.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if I can catch you up specifically, Jacob.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
You.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so there's these two brothers, they hunt monsters, there's an apocalypse, they accidentally spring Lucifer from his cage, and then they need to figure out how to put him back in his cage. And what how they end up solving that problem is by Sam says yes to Lucifer, lets Lucifer inhabit his body, and then he jumps into the cage and also pulls Michael, who is currently in the body of their half-brother Adam, and they go into the cage, and then Dean goes and lives with Lisa, and then, surprise, Sam is back, but we don't really know how, and he's kind of acting kind of sus.
Ooh, nicely done. I feel like that gives you everything you need to know, Jake. How could you possibly ask for
more? Definitely was paying attention.
Those were words that made sense.
Okay.
Not at all. Are you ready for your recap of this week's episode?
This week's episode? I watched it last night, so...
Got to a great really start remember. In your memory.
Okay.
It's fresh. It's fresh.
Can you give me like 45 seconds?
Yeah, we're just going to call it 30, though.
Yeah, sure.
Nobody's going to time it. Nobody's going to count.
No one knows.
So I'll put 45 on the timer, and someone, no one really knows.
But someone's going to say something.
Someone's going to have someone's timing it with us.
Sometimes I'll be real. There are some times when I edit some recaps, and there's some silences, and it gets down to under 20 seconds, and I'm like, hey, nobody's going to notice.
Holy smokes!
Nobody's going to notice.
You take out.
No, I'm going to be talking.
They're going to know. Nobody's.
I'm going to be talking this whole 45 seconds. Don't you worry.
Okay. Excited to see what you've got for us now, Jacob.
I'm Jacob.
I know.
I'm Noah.
I know.
Jacob has the half a man, remember?
You got it. I was pointing to the viewers at home.
Terrifying.
All right. I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Charlie Harper's best quotes from 2 and a Half Men. All right. When I say I understand, it doesn't mean I understand. It doesn't mean I agree. It doesn't even mean I'm listening. Boy, I feel for you. Unfortunately, the feeling is nausea. Never, ever again. You gonna quit drinking? Don't be ridiculous. I'm gonna quit waking up. Some of these are really bad.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? The women, the drinking. You guys look at me and you think it's easy. I don't know what even that means.
Oh, yeah.
You
called it back out of that one.
Hold on. No, not that one. Alcohol is for people who can afford to lose a few brain cells.
That's fitting for this.
There we go. People say alcohol caused many deaths, but they don't talk about how many people were born because of it.
Great note to end on. Fantastic.
Okay, I can do an actual one if you want as well.
That was great. I think that tells you everything you need to know about this week's episode. And
okay.
Which is that, yeah. That's what you're going to know about this week's episode, is that it is a reference to something, yeah. And things happen in it.
Because what is the name of this episode?
Oh.
2 and a Half.
Oh.
What?
Nothing. I had it right. Six people, right? I don't know.
Six people in a trench coat?
Six people in a trench coat.
Nice.
Well, now that we've gotten that all taken care of, it's time for us to pick some music to accompany us on our journey. Here's what we've got this week. August, did you want to get us started with our episode mixtape?
Give me 1 sec. I was going to go real silly with this.
That doesn't really match the vibe of the episode so far. I don't even feel out of left field.
Why are you being so silly? This is a very serious episode.
You silly goose.
Okay. I'm going to go with a kid's song today because I think that's funny. You know, makes sense. I'm going to go with the Hokey Pokey. I feel like you think it, you know, putting the right foot in, the right foot out, you know, it's a song about, I don't know, it's silly and it's about kids. And I kind of hate that that's what I'm going with, but
I love it.
You know, you turn yourself around, you turn to do the Hokey Pokey and you turn yourself around and, you know, maybe surprise, you have a new form because you're a shapeshifter. Someone else go and make me stop talking.
Jacob, how about you?
Oh, me? No, it says Noah next. Okay, I'll go next. No, okay.
Now I fucked up the colors.
What I thought. Okay, my choice is With Arms Wide Open by Creed. Because it's a good
meme. You didn't make me have to go find Creed's version of With Arms Wide Open. And you just sang it right there.
Do you put like a little tidbit in? Oh, okay, that would be cool. You'd have to only do like half a second.
I would have to now, but
you know.
No, you don't have to, because I just sang it for you.
You did it so much better.
Which is the fun part and can't get us in any copyright trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd have to use like half a second. But but basically, the song is about fatherhood. And it does actually tie in, but it's also Creed is a great meme band. So
I love that you went with something that both is silly and serious. proving that you thought about this for longer than 2 seconds.
No, it was about 2 seconds. I looked up a list of ironic songs about men and it was on there. I was like, ah, this actually fits. So
okay, now that makes it better because the kind of research you did is
I would like to believe that you had that tab open constantly and you refer back to it a lot.
I had it open all day today.
Good. My pick for this episode was Lost by Maroon 5, but really check those song credits because it's anyway, it's a little on the nose about how Dean comes to Lisa and how he's dealing with all these feelings about lost in a wave. He heard her say his name. She took him to a place that's safe and sound now, and he felt lost, but now he's found because Sam is back. So he's struggling with all these different emotions and whatnot, but I don't know. It kind of works. Kind of tracks.
Cool. Cool.
That's good. That's good. That's know what? Actually, I'm just going to say, just like take my suggestion right out there.
No,
and
no,
just
no,
like just those two songs.
Hokey Pokey.
No, the Hokey Pokey is there. I want there to be a
the opening
screenshot
track.
Screenshot of that of just those three songs.
It's going to be so good.
Is it by a guy named Chuck?
No, see, I just put that in there because I was going to, who wrote the Hokey Pokey?
Okay. I don't know. I think it's such an old song. It's just,
Chuck. I'm going to look it up. Who wrote the,
I think the Hokey Pokey is so old that it's, I don't even know if we know who wrote the original.
Jimmy Kennedy.
Okay.
Oh, I guess.
He wrote.
I was going to go with like a Sesame Street version of the Hokey Pokey.
Larry,
if there is one, but that's
Larry LaPrise. Larry LaPrise, not Jimmy
Kennedy.
Okay, we're
just throwing out names. No.
Larry,
shout out to all these people.
I want like a Sesame. I want like a Muppets Larry. Version of the Hokey Pokey. That's what I want it to be.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a song that's the all this is. Anyway, sorry, we're moving on. There is a Hokey Pokey song by Elmo and Oscar the Grouch. Okay. So
there you
there
go.
There we go.
Those aren't Muppets, so you're gonna have to redo that.
Well, okay, Sesame Street. They technically are Muppets. Muppet is they aren't Muppets like it. They're in the Kermit and the Gang cast Muppets, but
they are
Muppets. We've had this argument before a few different times, and
I'm pretty sure we had this argument. Okay. When we talked about Bert and Ernie are gay.
Like every time we bring up Sesame Street.
Okay, we need to move on.
Yes. So now
No. We need to continue this argument.
It's
and
an
continue
Elmo and Oscar podcast.
Re-erasing
now.
And erasing. Okay. Okay. But I just realized that I made a grave mistake with my song choice. I should have picked the main theme of Two and a Half Men, which is just men.
Bonus mixtape suggestion edition is
okay.
Theme from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, well, we don't have to put that in, but
I think we might have to.
Also, Two and a Half Men theme. Men. I don't know how it goes.
And
but
that'll
just
be the backing
being,
track for our
it's
intro.
Just, that honestly would be a great idea. You might get copyright struck, but you know.
Yeah.
Now that we've got our mixtape playing, it's time for this week's hunt. Today we're pulling up to season 6, episode 2, Two and a Half Men, through the theme of aging.
We're back to themes.
Yeah, if you missed it.
Listen to the last episodes.
We're back to themes.
Damn it.
Oops, you missed your tarot experience. So hey, aging is a big theme to start with this episode. Because it's all about Dean's connection with Ben and Lisa and how he feels like he's turning into his father.
Yeah. What did both of you think of this episode just like in general as first time watchers, both of you, but with wildly different amounts of context?
It was a very classic, like, I don't want to turn into my father kind of trope, which isn't a trope. It's like a real life thing. And like,
It is a
TV trope with like people. Obviously there's the gendered stereotype of it being like men turning into their fathers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's prevalent in any person, really. So,
I think there's that like fear of like
generational.
Yeah.
Yeah, becoming something that you didn't like in your parents.
Especially, especially when it's like a toxic parent, like Dean's father.
See, I'm glad
bring it back.
You may not have seen much of Supernatural, but you've seen enough to know that John Winchester sucks ass. So
yeah. Also,
I don't exactly know why, because I haven't seen like, you know, what happens later on, but you know, I figured
any of the episodes where they talk about him at all.
I figured he's a shitlord. So
yeah. One notable moment in the episode related to that is when they go to give the name of the baby. And Sam goes John and Dean goes Bobby, which is their you know, surrogate father figure, the one that we love. And it's very, very interesting.
And which one do they settle on as the Bobby
John
afterwards?
Bobby John.
Yeah, it's Bobby John, not John Bobby.
Well, mostly because Dean gives Sam a death glare when he hears that Sam wants to name his baby after John.
Okay, but can I just say that moment was beautiful because, yeah, Dean, Bobby, yeah. But when they're thinking about where they should bring a child, where's the safest place for a child? They don't even mention Bobby. They don't even think about him. They're all like, Samuel's the only possible solution. No, your father is sitting right there.
Yeah. You couldn't bring him to Bobby?
That was dumb as fuck. And I was like, are you serious? Are you kidding
me? Like, if you're going to bring him to a hunter, why are you bringing him to the fucking Campbells? Which,
who's like just back from the dead. You don't really know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
You don't really know if you can
just. So, I think that was a lot of heavy influence from Sam, though. And I think it's like Dean's wanting to trust Sam, but also
that's
like,
true. I think that's,
and he's wanting Sam to know that he trusts him as well.
So, I think he absolutely goes along with Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Sam pressures him and he's like, oh, I'm trying really hard to trust you. Cause like Sam stopped the apocalypse and is back from the dead. And Dean.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's a lot that happened.
I am also operating under the belief that that is not actually Sam. It's something else in impersonating Sam, you know, right?
Sam's been a little wonky since he came back.
He's been untrustworthy. He existed in the world for a year without telling Dean, without letting anybody know. Well, he let Bobby know, but that's a whole other.
Right. Sam's been alive for basically the whole time he's been gone, that Dean thought he was dead. And also Sam is now working with their came back from the dead grandfather and their cousins, all of whom are giant dicks.
Both of those people, the last time they saw them, they were possessed by a powerful demon or archangel. True. So it's like, why are you going to trust either one of them fully?
I do love all the like completely unnecessary dickishness that comes from all of the cousins.
Oh my god, they're such
dicks. They hate Dean so much.
Yeah,
they hate Dean like, so much for no reason.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It is. Also, they like microaggress it. Like in the previous episode, when we meet them all, they all like microaggress Dean a whole bunch in really homophobic ways in his house.
Nice.
And you're like, what? They just really don't like him.
Yeah.
And he really doesn't like them either.
No. And that's kind of that. To be honest, that should be a red flag that like, hey, something's going wrong here because these people really don't like me for some reason.
If your brother's hanging around these people who are all really sus and seem to hate you for no logical reason, and their leader has come back from the dead for the same unknown reason.
Yeah.
He died a lot longer ago than Sam did. Sam died a year ago. Samuel died like 40 years ago. Like what?
And he looks the same as when he did when he died.
Yeah, maybe he died in the 70s.
Like, it's a little weird.
Yeah. And also like, to go back to these cousins.
Yeah.
Like they bring up like the fact that Dean tortured souls in hell, which again, how do they know this for one?
And second of all, not his choice. They're acting like he chose this.
And third of all, like they're like acting and then they get all offended that Dean won't trust them, despite the fact that every single thing they've said to him since they met him was like either a microaggression or outright just like, we don't think you're a capable hunter. And then they're like, who do you think we are? And Dean's like, you're hunters. And those cousins like has the audacity to be like, here I was thinking we were family. And I was like, you do not act like family. I'm
not
sorry.
Any family I want to be involved with. No, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were frustrating.
And then they're like, we should just give the baby to this couple that wants the baby. Oh, boy,
Shittiest guy in the room. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me?
Which is saying a lot because Samuel is also in this room.
That whole scene, Dean is holding the baby so protectively, even though he knows that it's a monster. And three seasons ago, Dean was like so anti-monsters and like, hey, a monster is a monster no matter how small. But like this, he's holding that baby so tight, he doesn't want to give it up to anybody. And then Sam has to pry it from him to pass it along.
I think even then he would have done the same thing.
Oh no, for sure. Especially because
when
in his
it came
heart,
down to
he
it,
can see it's a baby and it's not. Yeah.
But he also has had a taste of fatherhood with with
Benjamin.
Ben.
Yeah, that child.
Yeah. his kid.
It's not his kid, but
it's his kid.
I do love
it's
seeing
his
that
kid,
representation
but,
of.
Yeah, it is. See. I quoted. Ooh,
yeah.
Sorry, continue.
You'd be great. Nothing, just seeing that representation of you know, a stepfather coming into his own and becoming the father that he has been and has been living up to for Ben this whole time. I love that.
And him owning it, him kind of going like, no, I do really feel like his dad, even though I'm not.
You don't see that often, especially in shows of that era and age, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's all the stuff with Dean and Lisa and Ben in this episode is really, really, really interesting. This is like the most I think we get from Lisa. We've gotten from her in the like four or five episodes she's been in so far.
She definitely handles every scene where she's interacting with Dean. You can tell that she has plenty of experience interacting with traumatized people, you know, like she sets her boundaries.
Knows where she got that?
Yeah, it could be anywhere. But...
yoga instructor. I don't know where she got that.
Well, what does she do for work?
She's a yoga instructor, or at least that's the one thing we know about what she used to be. Like
the last
10 years ago.
Information we got about
the most stressful place to work as a yoga instructor.
Release all of your freedoms into the bend. Release your freedoms into. Never done yoga. Can you tell? No, Lisa, just the way that she interacts with Dean, she sets her boundaries. She has limits. She makes compromises, but she also makes sure that he knows that she cares and she's not trying to argue or anything. She's like, hey, no. Get real with me. Look at me. We're talking.
And she does the whole, like, she does a really good job of navigating how challenging it is for Dean to figure out this, like, hunting versus family life situation. Because she says, she's like, if there's a rule that says this has to be either or, like, what if we just break that rule? And I really like that. She's like, what if we just don't, what if we don't play the game of like, either you're here with us and you don't hunt, or you go and hunt and you're not here with us. Like, she's like, what if we just like, you go hunt because you clearly need to, instead of like siloing the different parts of Dean and being like, either you can be a father and a partner, or you can be a hunter, being like, let's try both.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, our second instance of Dean inspiring people that love him to break the narrative around him, you know? We've got Cass doing that constantly, but now, well, I guess Anna as well, maybe.
And I do think we can highlight again how, like, the relationship with Lisa seems mostly to be about him being a parent to Ben and less about him being a romantic partner to Lisa. Like, I still don't really get romantic partners out of the two of them. I get, like...
co-parents.
Yeah. And, you know, that compet is still pretty strong.
But I
do appreciate that Lisa, like, sees Dean pretty clearly and is the only one that really does. Like, Sam is not doing a great job of that. Samuel isn't even trying.
He doesn't know the concept.
So something on the lines, kind of what you were saying about the, it's not as much romantic as much as, like, it's his fatherhood with Ben. I would argue that that's not true. I would say that the fact that she's not just wanting to walk away from that shows her commitment to him as well.
That's fair. I do think she is more in this than I do think that there's more of that maybe for her than I think,
because I think
for him.
I think it's it's like that shows her romantic care and love for him as well, not just, she's not just doing it for Ben kind of thing. It's like a it's a we thing. It's a me and Ben, you know. And so it's that level of like, not the gushy romantic side, it's the like real romantic love that a married couple would have,
and that she seems to have for him. I don't know if that's,
I wish it was reciprocated more,
you
know, like from Dean's end. If he's invested in this, then I wish he showed that care towards her more and not just towards Ben. But I the bones are there.
Yeah. And I've always felt like Dean and Lisa is a kind of a weird, interesting relationship where it's kind of a mix of like, I don't understand why these two are together, because they are kind of mostly together because of Ben. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they also haven't built something that is real in their relationship. And I do really like Lisa in this episode. I think she's the only grounding factor for Dean in this whole episode.
Yeah, hugely, hugely so. I really do love Lisa. She's great and a great character. Cannot get over that she's not right for Dean, but it's fine.
Absolutely.
I do
absolutely
love Lisa.
It does not feel, they feel a little doomed by the narrative.
Yeah.
To like pivot a little bit, how do you both feel about Sam in this episode? And Sam's choices and general vibe and
To me, it seems like he's being hoodwinked.
Ooh, interesting.
You think he's the hoodwinked, not the hoodwinker?
Yes. Yes. Just by how he's kind of, it seems like the flip is scripted. Script is flipped, where like Dean was the one who's like, no, I don't want to do this. And then Sam is the one who's trying to pull Dean along with him with this stuff, but he's wanting to do it. But like, I don't feel like there's any nefariousness from Sam's end. I feel it from the people he's surrounded himself by Samuel and those. Might have something to do with the fact that with the after credit scene with Samuel,
right.
The really, really mysterious phone call he had that kind of points you toward the fact that, oh, maybe they're bad.
Yeah, which we had a scene in the previous episode as well, where they are hunting a monster.
Instead of hunting it, they capture a monster. It's a djinn or a wishing monster. They capture it.
So
they
very powerful monster.
Keep its powers, use it some way. We don't know.
And again, so, Sam and Dean don't see it. It happens.
I don't know.
In the scene they're not in. Yeah. But we're getting the impression that Samuel has collected at least a couple of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
suspicious.
Interesting. Yeah,
to say the
suspicious.
Least.
And I do think it's interesting your point on that you don't think it's actually Sam. Yeah. Like Sam is Sam has gotten drawn into something that maybe he doesn't understand, or he's being tricked.
Yeah.
And maybe that's explaining some of, because Sam is weirdly suspicious in this episode.
Yeah.
Also the scene where about with the elf, like where they find out where Dean goes and confronts Sam and goes like, So
you knew, huh?
You should have known.
That's where I'm at. I'm on 100% on board with how Dean feels at the end. He does not believe that Sam didn't know about the whole plan to use the baby as bait to draw the monster. And he definitely knew.
And that's so not Sam. Like, that's so not Sam.
Not
from
Sam.
Everything we've seen of Sam in 5 seasons.
Mm.
And not I can't get past
5 episodes for me, by the way.
But the fact that you're also noticing it is interesting.
Yeah.
There's those subtle changes, but they're a lot more drastic whenever you're looking seasons apart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What doesn't make sense to me the most is why Sam even called Dean in the first place, except for the fact that Sam is on a hunt and he finds a baby, and so he panics and calls his dad. Like, okay, wholesome, but
that's true. That's true.
Samuel was around for raising kids. They've mentioned that other people are trying for kids, and they kind of implied that other people in the cousin group have kids already, but they don't want to give them the shape changer for whatever reason. I don't know. It feels weird that he needed to call Dean in for this one. And when it has to do with a kid, and he knows that Dean's dealing with a kid, and
it actually makes Sam a little more sympathetic. The fact that he calls Dean means that, like, there's something. It doesn't seem like he's just trying to manipulate Dean to get Dean back into the hunting. It seems like he really thinks
Hold up. I have a theory.
Okay. I want to hear a theory. I like know where all these plot lines are going, so I want to hear theories.
I know you guys know.
I'm the only one that knows.
Okay.
Noah
well,
hasn't seen past
that.
This episode. So
you know.
I want theories.
But I have a theory. I think that Sam knows what's happening. The only way he was able to be resurrected is to help them with this plan. And he's trying to get Dean involved so that way Dean can help save Sam and defeat this thing that whatever it is that's...
No, that's just a repeat of season 5. That is just the exact same plot.
I have seen 5 episodes. No. I haven't even seen season 5.
You're doing great.
I would not be surprised that
you're picking up on the vibes that they're laying down in this episode.
Yeah.
It would be absolutely buck wild if they did the exact same plot.
It would not shock me considering this is the first season in which they are grasping at straws in terms of story. So
true.
Right. And it's like Sarah Gamble, this is her second episode as showrunner.
Yeah.
It's interesting watching this season and like feeling the vibe shift. And I've seen this like a lot of times, but it's interesting, like, because we've been watching it chronologically so slowly, like I feel the vibe shift as soon as we hit season 6.
Yeah.
The camera works different, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Some of the storytelling is different.
Did they for each season after this, specifically, I guess, season six, did they have a concise storyline for the whole season, or did they just kind of go episode by episode?
I cannot reveal that because it is spoilers for later episodes.
Welcome to my life.
Okay, I can't reveal it to Noah.
Okay, well, okay, Noah, leave the call.
I and edit the
August,
podcast.
You tell me. Fuck.
All I will say is that, like, from this point onwards, like, it really varies season to season as to how the storytelling works.
Oh.
And they don't go back to Monster of the Week, like in the first season, where you do have a bit of Monster of the Week. I'm not saying there are not Monster of the Week elements, but
it's always
it doesn't become a Monster of the Week show again, like it was in season one. That's all I can safely say, I think, without giving spoilers. But
it's all overarching story.
Episode is interesting because it kind of has Monster of the Week vibes, but also there's ties to like bigger plot stuff.
Yeah.
Like all the Dean and Lisa and Ben stuff and the stuff with like Samuel Campbell. That doesn't get wrapped up this episode. But like this individual monster
is wrapped up for now.
Yeah.
It's wild how the first five seasons of the show was all about how terrible your dad is. And then season six is how terrible is your grandfather. Like, okay.
They just can't get away from that family trauma.
Nope.
Well, they're just like, there's more in there. There's more in there.
Dude, dads suck. Hashtag dads suck. Let's get that trending.
Except for the Dungeons and Daddy's dads. They're the
best. Dean's trying. Look, Dean is trying really hard to not be a bad dad.
Yeah. That's true. He's self-aware.
Yeah. He's good with this. He's better with the baby than I remembered this episode. I remember this episode being kind of cringy for how they handle like Dean and Sam with a baby, but it's actually not as bad as I remembered. Sam's kind of cringy, and the grocery store scene is kind of cringy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they were like not aware of their surroundings when they just decided to like beat the shit out of this old lady. I'm like, dude, you're in a grocery store. You're like, it doesn't matter that this is a demon. It has the upper hand. Yeah. Just leave. Just leave.
Walk away.
Yeah. Like if it's going to hunt you, it's going to hunt you anyway.
Yeah. Go to somewhere secluded. Don't put yourself in a position where, you know, you'll get pictures of you all over the place.
Don't try to stab someone in a grocery store, even if they are a shapeshifter.
Not again.
Yeah. This is goes along with the like thing of Sam and Dean having conversations about the supernatural in really public places.
Yeah.
Like it just
constantly.
What? What?
Just making themselves look well, you know what? It's actually, you know what? Props to them because it keeps people away. It keeps people away from dealing with them because they just look like crazy motherfuckers. Stay away.
That's true. If I heard someone talking about killing monsters, I'd be like, you know what? I'm gonna shop somewhere else today.
If someone's walking around talking about, well, Azazel was talking about this. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to go this way. You and Azazel can go talk over there.
After watching, after being such a fan of Supernatural, would you though? Would you really?
Okay. I might be a little curious.
Would you really?
I think my sense of self-preservation is still strong enough that I ultimately, I'm going to be nosy, but I'm also going to get the fuck out of there.
I would try to eavesdrop for sure, but I would be looking at anything else on the shelf. Okay. Oh yeah, the adult diapers right here. Yes, please. You were saying, I'm sorry, Azazel who?
Yeah. You're just describing the ghost facers, Noah. That's what you're describing.
I would be the ghost facers. Okay. Alternate reality, Jacob and I are ghost facers we're hunting down August and Elena.
Oh, from Scream?
No, sorry. In Supernatural, there's a duo named the Ghost Facers who do a found footage ghost hunting crew.
Hell yeah. Blair Witch Project style.
Yeah.
And then they run into the brothers and get a lot more involved in the real Supernatural elements. So it's very interesting.
We've met them a couple of times in the show so far.
They're so great, and they're hella queer, and it's so good.
Man, I am shocked that they didn't get sued in any way by the people who make Scream, because that's literally what the
ghost face. Just one. Add that R, now it's
ghost face
a whole different
interesting mark. The Scream, like when?
The first one's like, it's like the 90s.
I just went and looked it up. The first Scream came out in 1996. So fair. I think as with other things, Supernatural is just not a big enough fish to
That's fair.
Be worth suing.
Yeah.
That's on the CW. The never profitable CW network. Yeah.
No one cares about the CW. No.
You aren't costing anyone any money.
Yeah. No. Even people in Vancouver are like, yes, we see Grant Gustin every fucking day. I don't care.
Yeah, it's true.
Not anymore, true. Though, do you?
Not anymore, though, because the Flash is over. No,
and the Riverdale stars. And like, Riverdale, my sister saw KJ Apa at a climbing gym once.
Okay, that being
He's
said,
exactly the type to hang out in the climbing gym.
Oh, it was really funny. Totally. It was really funny. Mad His hair jealous. Was extremely red.
I would be excited to see Cole Sprouse, but not because of Riverdale, but because of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I would also be very excited to see Cole Sprouse.
Wait, are that you a Sweet be... Life on deck or a Sweet Life person?
Oh, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Come on. Sweet Life on deck is no.
Whoa.
It was never as good.
Okay. I feel like the story method of trapping everybody on a boat is pretty strong.
That's pretty good. Although I will say, what's her name? Bailey, I think her name was in the show.
It sucks when all three people on a podcast are on the same side of an argument and one of us has to go on the other side, even though we don't agree. And it's like, totally better.
On Deck was totally better. Totally, that's the one that I would go for of those two shows.
Sorry.
Totally remembered that one existed before you mentioned it.
Hold on, actress.
You're
Debbie right. Ryan.
Oh, Debbie yes. Ryan. And you forgot Debbie Ryan?
I know, because she's married to my all-time favorite drummer, which makes me really upset.
Okay, Josh Dunn is your all-time favorite drummer. Jacob, how yes. have we never talked about this?
I don't know.
Podcast over. Seen, it's the 21 Pilots his, show now.
Have you seen his the tour of his new studio?
Yes. Oh my it's God.
Fucking insane. So I'm so cute. Excited. Okay.
So beautiful.
Anyways, let's
Rosie's
talk
like
about the podcast about
now.
Supernatural.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. And just for listeners at home, as soon as he said Debbie Ryan, I did the ear tuck. So we're covered. We're good.
I don't know what that means.
It's fine. People will.
Okay. I want to point out a terrible phrase that gets used here. That gets used like twice, which is when Samuel Campbell is talking about the abductions at the beginning of the episode and he says they're making baby stew. And I just like I could have done without that phrase.
Yeah. Like, don't say that like that's common knowledge, sir. No.
That's not a normal way of talking baby about stew. This.
Okay, but
are you an orc?
That's what
yeah. Like again you're talking about monsters and being like maybe baby stew, but then being like either it's monsters making baby stew or it's just like humans making baby stew. And I'm like, what?
Okay, but this may ruin a certain food item for you guys, but what is lamb stew?
That's not the same thing.
It's baby stew.
Okay, but you're taking out a specific sheep word there. Baby sheep stew.
Baby stew.
Yeah, that's
if you're taking the lamb means baby sheep. Lamb does not mean baby.
Babies. It's baby stew.
Okay, never mind. We're moving on.
We've got to move on.
I want to move on to the scene with Dean and Ben. When Ben opens the Impala and sees all the guns, and then Dean has a little bit of a meltdown, and he says to Ben, "Mark my words, you will never ever shoot a gun ever."
I marked that down. I said, "You did not even knock on any wood, sir."
Come on. I can understand where his initial
it makes sense.
It makes so much sense that he would do that and like go absolutely nuts.
Yeah,
about that. He probably still feels that way, but it's one of those things where he probably would ease off on that. At some point.
Yeah. I think that it's like coming from this, like, I don't want to be my dad. And his dad who put a gun in his hands when he was six.
Yeah.
His father was such a piece of shit that he was only excited. He was only interested in Dean whenever Dean was excited about what John was doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to be growing up with that mentality and trying to swing so far the opposite direction to not be your dad. And then your kid is excited about hunting. Ooh,
yeah,
not a great vibe for him to be dealing with right now, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. And I mean, like, he could always turn that into like, oh, we'll go shoot animals, like,
yeah, you know, take it out and
like go take hunting or even target shooting and stuff like that. Like, that's something that he could eventually go into, but like
the reality of it is as a hunter's child, you want him to know how to use a gun, but you don't want him to want to go out and kill stuff, you know, like that's not the ideal. You want him to be able to protect himself and his loved ones, but don't take him hunting monsters for sure. Hunting game is different. If you're hunting it for food, not for sport, we don't stand that.
No, and like that's the other thing too is that the kid doesn't know he just is on this idea of like, oh yeah, going to go hunt monsters like a video game or whatever. And it's like
with my dad.
With my dad, like it's not what it, that's not what it is.
No.
And I think Dean probably saw that and like, you know, this kid is at this point in his life, Dean probably was already hunting with his dad.
Oh yeah.
With Sam.
For sure.
And so like, you know, this kid would be so ill prepared to even see one of these monsters. Like he wouldn't even want to put him through that. You know, maybe if he sees one, he would be like, all right, you're good. All right. Yeah. He's like, all right, I'm good. I never want to do this again.
You can
don't put a gun. Don't put a gun in my hands.
That's yeah. fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so fair. I hope we get a little bit more time with that going forward. I hope that, you know, Dean gets to come back and interact with Lisa and Ben and maybe get him more comfortable with the gun and like let him into that side of Dean's life, because
yeah,
that's all that Ben really wants. He wants to be able to connect with Dean. You know, he's not sitting here trying to get into this gun because he wants to go out and attack somebody. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's trying to get close to his dad.
He's also 11.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's, he's a middle schooler. Like, this is kind of an exciting thing for him.
Mm-hmm. Video games and all of that.
He doesn't really know what fighting monsters means, even though like he has encountered a monster before. The first time he met Dean when he was 8, like he did encounter a monster and it was very scary, but he also was able to help and rescued and like rescued a bunch of other kids. And like,
he's an icon.
See, no one ever told me that. And I just went on a whole spiel about,
I'll cut it.
If Ben ever saw a monster, he wouldn't want to do this.
It's funny because he actually saw,
God damn it.
No, that whole episode, I was so hyped about how great Ben did.
Yeah, but to be fair, he saw a monster very briefly, one kind of humanoid monster, and basically got captured. Basically, he didn't even really properly see a monster. Like, really, he got kidnapped, and then he got rescued by Dean, and then helped with getting all the other kids out safely.
Yeah.
Like, not to say that it wasn't, like, a huge deal. But
he definitely didn't have to hold a gun to the monster, you know, like it's definitely different. But
yeah. And it was like 4 years ago before this episode. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of leads me into a little bit of a lore check. So get this. So I was checking into the lore, and most of the other times that we've seen shapeshifters, they have to drop their skin to change their form, right?
Yeah.
And we see that in the first half of this episode.
Side note, I was eating frozen chicken nuggets at that point when they just like zoomed in on the gross skin on the ground. I lost my appetite immediately.
It's terrible.
Well, that's your fault for watching Supernatural while eating.
Look, we did it almost every time before.
And it was
never
always
an issue. This time it was an issue.
But the fact that they linger on that shot means that they drew attention to it, and then later on in the episode they just ignore it.
Jacob, you were literally on a shapeshifter episode before.
Was I?
Yeah, you were on Night Shifter.
Oh. Look, you can't quote me on anything I say because I don't remember shit. So
that was a year ago.
Well, it's more than a year ago.
That was more than a year ago.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty gross. And
they're kind of playing fast and loose with these rules. Already.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it was the whole thing. They didn't do that because the whole thing with it was because he was the alpha.
With the alpha, it's different. With the baby, it does still do kind of the like.
Yeah, it exploded all over the wall.
And it kind of makes sense to me that the baby would be a little more volatile because, like, this is a new shapeshifter. They don't really know.
Well, yeah, it's like learning learning to walk.
Learning a bodily function for the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Which,
and like,
yeah.
Yeah. And with the alpha, like they were even freaked out. They were like, what the hell? Why, like, why can it just do that? That's not a shapeshifter. And they're like, oh, it's the alpha. Like,
which is another big addition. Having the concept of monsters or alpha creatures.
Alpha, or as the other shapeshifters referred to it, as the father.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
A little bit weird.
The father, they use the term the king. Like, it's the idea that like, Samuel says, like, all monsters come from somewhere. This is the one that spawned all the others. He also says there's a ton of lore about it, which, like, we have not heard any of this lore.
I love how Samuel was just like, oh, there's lore about it. Oh, and this was also in the lore. It's like, okay, sure.
But he's also like, yeah, any chance I get to get on a computer. Okay, so reading a lot of books? Sure.
Well, yeah. Well, I remember even in the early seasons, like a lot of the lore that they would find were from like the giant like tomes and like
which
scrolls and stuff.
Is so. Also begging the question of like, why have Sam and Dean never heard of this before, considering Bobby? Like, why don't they know why don't they know the concept of like a first monster?
This episode's some huge Bobby erasure, just start to finish.
Yeah, they fucking hate Bobby.
Except for when writers, the kid.
Writers. Bring Bobby the kid. If anyone can raise a kid in The Hunting and not end up, like, if the Campbells raise this kid, this shifter kid, that kid is going to grow up to be
an assassin.
Yeah, that kid's not going to grow up to be a good, like, that's going to be a real dangerous hunter, and not in a good way.
Yeah, the power that hunter would possess would be crazy, unimaginable.
But also the lack of morals?
The lack of morals would stop him in his tracks.
Well, thankfully, the hunters didn't get their hands on that baby.
Right. Just the alpha did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Exactly. Went back to their family. Yeah.
There is a, like...
Monsters are people, too. Yeah.
Well, I think monsters are not people too, but like monsters have pronouns too, personal pronouns.
Monsters
too?
Have gender.
There is always,
I guess it would be case by case because there are probably some that are like,
yes,
very like don't even conform to, right,
don't have a concept
any
gender
norms. Yeah. Or concept. There, yeah. Like,
there's a title for this episode. Do monsters have a gender?
Hell yeah.
What gender is your monster? That I was like, is this transphobia? And then I was like, I don't think it is. I think it's just kind of funny. But that, this takes the grain of salt. There's the scene when they give the baby, when Samuel gives the baby to Dick Hunter number one and says, it's a boy sometimes.
Dick Hunter number one is such a good phrase.
Dick Hunter.
You can't just blow past that. I'm sorry. Pun intended.
No, that's a good one.
That was phenomenal.
That is a man. That's a great...
The call sheet name right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Really, that should have been... I should have attributed that to a different hunter in this episode. And y'all know who I would have said that about.
Okay.
Absolutely. We love
it. Move on. The joke did make me giggle a little bit. It's a boy sometimes. Because I was like, I don't think it is kind of like... I think meant to be kind of an offensive, kind of transphobic joke. But it's also not really... Like, it's 2011, which is why it's not a good joke.
I don't think it was because it's a shapeshifter. It's like, it can be a girl and a boy. It is funny because it's like, okay, yeah.
It's in some ways almost kind of affirming of like,
sometimes
gender is fake. It's not that important. Kind of a made up thing.
This is a child, most importantly, you know?
Yeah. I think if they kept referring to it as it, then that would have been
that's not great.
That wouldn't be great. But like they kept referring to it as he until all of a sudden it shapeshifted. Oh, it never even like specified after it was Bobby Jim.
The second part's not important.
Yeah. When at like after that, like at that point, they're like, oh, it's a boy. But like when it shapeshifted, they never like specified what the baby was or anything like that. So like, I guess they said it was a boy at that point. Oh yeah, I guess no, never mind. I guess they did because they said it's a boy.
I also love
how like to show that it shapeshifted, they chose the most like complete opposite. We're like, we're gonna make it a black baby.
It's because it's the baby on the box that's on the diaper.
Oh
box.
Yeah. I mean yes, but yeah. Like they could have just chose. I don't know.
No. Yeah, they didn't have like, to make the baby on the box a black baby.
Yeah.
Not
to say that, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, don't represent, like, the BIPOC community, but it's like, it was.
They were like, nobody would have noticed unless we
changed
the skin color.
Oh, yeah, no one would have noticed. It has to be a black baby.
We have to make sure that people, well, I mean, to be fair, like, babies
do all look the
all
same.
Look the same. They don't. Yeah. They don't actually, but, like, on a quick glance, and also because of, you know, laws around using like infants as actors, there are like the chances that it's not the same baby in all of these scenes is like pretty high because of, you know, there's like not, you can't use like a child actor or a baby actor for very long.
yeah,
in filming. So there's probably several babies potentially that played the role in this episode. And so, but it is very funny. It is also like, I liked the little nod of like, that's the baby on the box, because that's, that's the only context that shapeshifter, this baby shapeshifter has to shapeshift into.
That does, that part did make sense. Once I realized, oh, it's the box, it's the baby on the box. It's like, oh, that does make sense. What was the line? There was a line that Dean said about like, it turning Asian or something like that.
That line's just not great.
That line was like, okay, well,
very hurtful.
You didn't have to say that. You could have said anything else.
You could have just
nothing.
Yeah, you didn't need. You could have made a joke about a physical trait of the baby without.
Well, no, they could have said like when the baby's skin explodes off of them.
Right, that's funnier.
It makes a huge mess when it happens. Like,
You're like, you can't just like leave this baby at a fire station. What about when it explodes over everything?
Yeah.
Boom. What about funny when the joke. Skin?
Yeah, exactly.
No weird racism.
Yeah.
When he's throwing his tomato juice on the wall, like, damn.
Like, what about when he throws a tantrum and
its skin falls on you?
Professional writers.
Goddamn early 2000s, 2010s racism.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, what else? It's okay. It's very fun. Like, there are some really funny moments in here, like Dean not being able to figure out a car seat, which, like, to be fair, figuring out a car seat.
Oh my god!
What does he say? He's a particular line about
built by NASA.
Is it? Yeah.
Which like is true. If you've never been like, I don't know. I have a lot of kids in my life. Like I've worked with kids a lot of my life, and now I have a number of friends who have kids. I still, if I see a car seat that I've never seen before, I still can spend 20 minutes being like, "How the fuck do you buckle this baby in safely?" They are made to be confusing.
You need an engineering degree if you want to be able to figure that out first try.
Yeah. And I appreciate the realism of Dean being like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, that's good. Damn. I love that.
This is further proof that Sam also like doesn't know how to do like that. Like Dean knows how to deal with children because he dealt with Sam, and Sam has no idea how to deal with children because Sam just panics. Dean's like, oh, I need a diaper change, and Sam's like, god no, help. Please.
Very much younger sibling energy.
Yeah, baby there. Sibling energy.
I did also like the line, unless you got a badge for Bobby John, I'm sure, you know, like referring to that, like he needs a badge of level of clearance to take care of the baby.
Yeah,
it was cute. Very wholesome. Now it's time to slide into our final and favorite section of the episode, our character blessings. Who would you like to bless this week? August, did you want to go ahead and go first?
Sure. Yeah. I'm gonna bless Lisa because she holds her boundaries. She makes it clear what she needs and what she wants out of Dean. And she offers him like an alternative. He feels really stuck. He feels like either I'm a hunter or I'm a partner and father. And she's like, what if we try both? She's like, can't promise it'll be easy, but what if we try both? And she also like makes it really clear what she needs. She goes like, you can't be here in this current state. This is not working for me or for my son. We're going to do things differently and we're going to try something different. And yeah, want to bless her for just showing that like agency and sticking up for herself. And in doing that, she also like gives Dean the opportunity to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
Really love Lisa this episode. Mm-hmm.
Jacob, how about you?
Yeah, I would love to bless Alan Harper from Two and a Half Men, because I really do think that Charlie just he rags on him all the time. He bullies him so much. It's just, you know, I think it's unnecessary.
Never seen Two and a Half Men.
I've seen only like a few episodes, and Charlie Sheen is just a big bully the whole time. Of course he is.
What a surprise!
Yeah, and so you know, I think I really bless. Hope that Alan like sticks up for himself, you know, one of these days. So
love to see it. Good on you.
Noah.
I'm gonna go ahead and bless Ben, because Ben just gets yelled at this episode and
Ben
locks himself away. And we don't get any real resolution for that. Dean doesn't apologize or anything that we see, but I hope that happens off screen and we get to hear more from Ben in the coming seasons and episodes, I hope. Because seeing that relationship grow would be great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. They have really cool parent child chemistry in season, like him, like Jensen and the actor who plays Ben. Like it's their scenes are really good. And I definitely also want to see more.
Same.
Cool.
Fantastic. Well, that brings us to the end today. That was such a blast. Honestly, Can't thank y'all enough. This was so much fun. Jacob, is there anything of yours or anything you're doing that you want to plug? Get out there and
hire me as a photographer if you're in the Kelowna area.
Jacob will come and shoot you no matter what.
I will take photos of you. I will not shoot you. You cannot put that on me.
You have to remember, Noah, that people can take sound bites out of context.
Ah, damn.
The internet.
Yes.
Just kidding.
But yeah, that's.
Thanks for being here again, Jacob. It is always fun to have you.
Oh yeah, I will be here. Well, you gotta have like a playlist of all the episodes that I'm in.
Be like, if you want to hear other Jacob episodes, we'll link a couple of them in the episode description. If you liked Jacob content,
hit the highlights.
I also got a couple episodes in mind for you for season 7 that I think you will enjoy. I think season 7 you might really like.
I'll see you next season. Well, if there's any more this season as well, I don't want to just be a one season per. per one episode per
you're,
season
you're
kind
one
of guy,
episode a season so. Kind of guy. I gotcha.
No, I'm not that. I don't want to be that.
Oh.
Jacob wants to watch more Supernatural is what he's saying.
I think so.
No.
I think he said he really enjoys it and he loves the show.
I want to derail your show more frequently.
Oh, see, you're selling it so well, Jacob. You're selling
because
this.
We thrive on chaos. So
yeah. You keep having me back. This is your problem.
This is true.
Whoops.
Well, thank you for being here. And
of course.
Yeah. If you're listening, you can subscribe to Saving People, Queering Things wherever you listen to podcasts. Share our show with your friends. We are going through all of Supernatural and we got a whole 5 seasons out and we're really excited for this.
Woo. Also out now, Queering People Saving Throws. Our main crew, along with KJ of Supernatural Opinions, taking a dive into a queer D&D adventure, releasing every other Friday right here on our feed.
You can also join our Discord server, find links to our socials, and catch up on latest season mixtapes. And that's all going to be at our website, queeringthingspodcast.com.
Be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore Season 6, Episode 3, The Third Man, through the theme of instinct.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride. We wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.
That was
that a good that. Radio voice.
That was phenomenal. Great. That was orgasmic. Like just like
just... I swear to God.